He's a, what did he call it now? The global deputy. Anyway, he's working with the GBC these days and teaching Bhakti Shastra. And then more recently, I seem to get these last minute services. That seems to be my say. I always, everybody has plans, isn't it? I want to serve Krishna like this. I like, most of us, it never works out that way, does it? Seems like that. So I was recently president in Philadelphia for a couple of years. And that service was given to me 2 days before the president left. Can you imagine? It's not India. I mean, this is America, so there's not very many devotees. President in America means you wash your pots, you do everything until you find someone to do it. So, you know, 2 days to figure out where are the keys, where are the locks, where are the bills, what are the accounts, what's this, and he's packing. And okay, who's going to stay? Nobody. You and these two people. There's more deities than devotees. So, anyway, so we take these challenges. And anyway, I was supposed to give class. My class schedule kept changing a number of times, and so today is it. I was told during the greeting of the deities. So anyway, you all just bear with me. It's going to be one of those kind of classes. Not very well prepared, but hopefully something inspirational is said. And besides that, we chant this Nashta Pareshu Abhareshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatam Shloke Bhakti Bhaviti Naishtaki, right? By rendering service under the pure devotee, attending the classes in the Bhagavatam, all the anarthas in the heart are practically destroyed. So Bhagavatam class, we're following as pure Prabhupada's instructions. And so simply by just participating, actually, you make advancement. It's nice if you have a very good speaker also, but that's not really the main requirement, but to attend. Like you see Jananivas, isn't it amazing? He's always over there, no matter who's speaking, listening attentively. So this is our process. And even another little side note here also, we see this nice elevated seat is here, garland is given. So yeah, normally these things are to honor Vaishnavas, all Vaishnavas should be honored, but this subject of Bhagavatam is so virtuous and so glorious that whoever speaks it, they should sit on an elevated seat, it's stated, to respect the katha and garland and all these things. So as Prabhupada mentioned, he says, I am the representative of God, not that I am God. And as representative of God, I should get all the respect of God. So, of course, that's a difficult thing to do in those positions. But anyway, so this is the same with the Bhagavatam class. So we have verses 35 to 40. And this is the verse 40. So we'll chant this Sanskrit. And, well, let me do this. Let me read up to this point, and then we'll chant the Sanskrit. And if you don't mind, I'll just read the English translation because these are very, a little bit difficult Sanskrit pronunciations and long verses also. So, let's see, where did we leave off? We left off with the class about the airplanes. We're in the sky and Nrisimhadev is from his mane, he's throwing them here and there. And so, you know, his effulgence is fearsomeness. So now the demigods are beginning to approach to offer prayers to the Lord. So verse 35 states, Hiranyakasipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus, when the wives of the demigods and the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Person of Godhead, their faces blossom in great joy. Normally people aren't happy to see someone be killed, isn't it? I remember selling the Krishna book. All of us read Krishna book. One occasion, I have a book table in an Indian area, and one of the Indian ladies approaches, and I said, oh, you have a nice young child. You should read this Krishna book. two-year child. She says, it's kind of gory, isn't it? All that killing. I never thought about it like that. You ever think about it that way? It's nothing but killing in Krishna book, isn't it? But because it's the Supreme Person of Godhead, it doesn't seem like that. If you read about other people killing, nobody wants to hear those things. But when Krishna kills, it's like, yeah, that's cool. You know, it feels nice, actually. Because he's the Supreme Person of God. Everything he does is wonderful and glorious, and everyone enjoys it, isn't it? So here's Nrisimhadev. He's fearsome form, as we read earlier, and his roaring is so horrific. Even the elephants are screaming in fear, you know. So elephants aren't scared of anything, are they? Even lions come, they just went with their trunk, pow, just bump them aside. But Nrisimhadev has put fear in their heart. And yet now, here are the wives of the demigods. They're like, oh, so wonderful, and they're going to start throwing flowers. So the wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadev like rain. So we do that at Rath Yatra and festivals, don't we? Shower the flowers. So the next verse. At that time, the airplanes of the demigods who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayana crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums, and upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance while the chiefs of the Gandharvas sang sweetly. Text 37 to 39. My dear Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons in the residence of Pitaloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadharaloka, and the planet of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinarloka, the Vitalas, the inhabitants of King Purusha Loka, and the personal servants of Vishnu like Sunanda and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances in prayers, their hands folded at their heads. So now the scene is set. All the demigods have approached. And so the offerings, the prayers from the demigods begin. And of course, according to etiquette, senior most demigod offers the prayers, which is Lord Brahma. So today's verse will be Lord Brahma speaking. Sri Brahma Uvacha. Natosmi anantya duranta saktaye vichitra viryaya pavitra karmane don't laugh at my glasses. This is all I had left. Vishvasya sarga stiti samyamangunai. Sosliyaya sandate vayatmane. Atosmanyantya duranta saktaye. Vichitra viryaya pavitra karmane. Vishvasya sarga sita samyamangunai. Svaliyaya sandate vyavat vyayatmane. You want to give it a shot then? Yeah. Natos mayantaya durante saktaye vichitra viraya pavitra kamane Vishvasya sargasita samyamanguna Saliyaya sanate yatya Shri Bhama Uvacha Natos mayantaya duranta shaktaye Pitrita viyaya pavitra karmane Vishvashta sarga sita samyamangunai Ladies, Shri Brahma Uvacha Natos Mayantaya Duranta Shaktaye Vichita Viraya Pavitra Karmane Vishvasya sarga siti samyamangunai Svaliya sandadate vyatyamatmane Shri Brahma Uvacha Natos mayantaya duranta shaktaye Vichita Vriyaya Pavitra Karmane Vishvashva Sagastiti Samyamangunai Saliyasa Shri Brahma Uvacha Lord Brahma said Natha Bow down Asmi I am Anantaya, unto the unlimited Lord. Duranta, very difficult to find an into. Shaktaye, who possesses different potencies. Vichitra viraya, having varieties of powers. Pavitra karmane, whose actions have no reaction, even though doing contrary things, he remains without contamination by the material modes. Vishvasya of the universe, sarga creation, stiti maintenance. Samyama, in annihilation. Gunai, by the material qualities. Svaliyaya, very easily. Sandatate, performs. Avyaya Atmane, whose personality never deteriorates. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The word-for-word meanings are actually done by the disciples. There's a nice video called Brilliant as the Sun. How many people have seen that? Yeah, you should look for that on YouTube. And you'll see how the books were published. Whole big process. So Lord Brahma prayed, My Lord, you are unlimited, and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your powers and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universes, maintain it, and again annihilate it. Yet, you remain the same, without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Very nice prayer, isn't it? Purport. The activities of the Lord are always wonderful. His personal servants, Jaya and Vijaya, were confidential friends. Yet they were cursed, and they accepted bodies of demons. So imagine, you're friends of the Lord. Do you expect to be cursed? It's like Vasudeva and Devaki. They performed 60,000 years of austerities. For what? We want a son like Vishnu. And of course, Vishnu says, there's no one like me. So I'll become your son. Did they realize when he appeared that he was going to say, take me to Vrindavan and you go back to prison? No. I want you to stay with me all the time. I don't want to go back to prison and you go to someone else's house. I didn't perform austerities for that. I want you as a child. No, what did they do? Immediately. He takes them and they go back to prison. Can you imagine? It's bewildering, isn't it? So, yeah, we can't say like that. I want these kind of services. Don't give me anything else. So, anyway. So Jaya and Vijaya, confidential friends. Of course, we know their relationship is servants, they're guards. But, also some friendship is there. It's not just I'm master and you're the servant. If they weren't confidential, they wouldn't have been able to participate in this Leela with the Lord. So, anyway, they accepted bodies of demons. Again, in the family of one such demon, Prahlad Maharaj was caused to take birth to exhibit the behavior of an exalted devotee. Then the Lord accepted the body of Nrisimhadev to kill that same demon, who by the Lord's own will had taken birth in a demoniac family. So Prabhupada summarizing very nicely here the whole Leela in that kind of little bit of a Uttama Adhikari mood, you see. So therefore, who can understand the Lord's transcendental activities? Not to speak of understanding the transcendental activities of the Lord, no one can understand even the activities of his servants. So what servants is he speaking of here? He mentioned the demigods, because in this verse Brahma mentions how it's so wonderful, your activities. Even your activities in material world are wonderful. You create, you maintain, you annihilate, but you don't change. It's not like Krishna's doing the work. You see? So those servants are Brahma, Shiva, of course, the other Vishnu expansions which are there. So you can't even understand the activities of his servants. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Tanra Vakya Kira Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhujaya. No one can understand the activities of the Lord's servants. Therefore, what to speak of the activities of the Lord? Who can understand how Krishna is benefiting the entire world even? That's bewildering. The Lord is addressed as Duranta Shakti because no one can understand his potencies and how he acts. Om Gyana Timiranjasa Gananjanan Salakaya Chakshumi Tamina Tasmai Sri Yugadavaya Namaha. Just about used up all my time, huh? So, again, this pastime is being summarized very nicely here by Lord Brahma, by Prabhupada in the purport, that from that perspective of the Uttama Adhikari, is Krishna so wonderful? You see? Even Lord Brahma, as we know later on, this Nrisimhadev appeared first and then Lord Krishna appeared. He could easily recognize this had to be Vishnu. Of course, they prayed. They wanted Hiranyakasipu killed, so they knew something was going to happen. They didn't know what it was going to be. And then when you see something very great and very awe-inspiring, generally people recognize that as something supreme, isn't it? So you'll find in a lot of the tribal religions, especially like in America, they have the Red Indians, and you go into the Amazon and there's people who maybe they never even seen human beings. But when they see something awe-inspiring, they immediately recognize it as something supreme. So this form on the Sringadev, nobody's going to doubt that's the supreme. But then when he appears as Krishna, they get bewildered, isn't he? That's his personal form. Brahma, he knows Krishna's descending to take care of the demons at the end of Dwapara Yuga. So you know, let me come and see what's Krishna look like. And he sees a little baby, Krishna, running around. He's a perfect baby. So he's bewildered. Is this Supreme Person of Godhead? How can it be? Look at him. His friends are wrestling with him and rubbing his face in the mud. Who does that to the Supreme, you know? You know, his mother's chasing him with a stick and he's crying. Yeah. He's stealing butter and breaking pots. What kind of Supreme Person of Godhead is this? So let me do a test. Maybe he's not the Supreme Person of Godhead. So that personal form is even more difficult to understand. Even Brahma couldn't recognize it. Of course, it's not shown that often also. Actually, Krishna's Leela is like Mahaprabhu's Leela. It appears once in the day of Brahma. And as you know, that 12 hours of Brahma is 1,000 millenniums, which is, what is that, 4 billion years? So somehow or another is even bewildering. How did we get to be so close to that Leela, even ourselves? So all these great Mahatmas here, only 5,000 years from Krishna's appearance. So Krishna, his activities are bewildering. So before trying to understand Krishna as a child, which is attractive, his Leela is attractive, but at the same time, people don't want, as Prabhu mentioned in class the other day, no one wants to accept that. If you go out and say, you know, there's a snake planet and all these things, people are going to think we're crazy. At least in the West, they think you're crazy. But you look at this material realm, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport in the end, even it's awe-inspiring, isn't it? Look at even our own bodies. We're so much bewildered by the mode of ignorance that people don't even consider that inconceivable is right in our face every day. This body was produced from what? Two little small microscopic liquids, the semen and the egg. Put together, and somehow or another you have this huge thing. Isn't that bewildering? Can the scientists create that themselves? But they dare say, oh, no, it didn't take any intelligence to make this body. It just happened. And that in itself is bewildering. Such a, you know, PhD, people think, you know, that person can invent this thing. What is this made of mostly, you know? Sand. They transform sand into this bewildering thing that everybody wants to have, isn't it? We work all day long to have one. As soon as the deity curtain opened, everybody's like, isn't it? It's like, I'm trying to see the deities, not you taking a picture of the deities. You know? I want to ask, I wonder if they look at the pictures afterwards, or they just like going through the motions of, you know, it makes you want to serve it, doesn't it? You always got to keep it in your pocket, guard it. Look at it and maintain it real nice, you know. This is my deity in a sense. So, but they created this thing. Can you imagine this? Oh, where did you get this nice iPad from, Siki Mahidi? Oh, it just appeared. You know, there was these bricks were in my garage, and gasoline was there, and there was a big explosion in the garage. And when the smoke cleared, I went in to see what damage was done, and it was an iPad. That's what they say about these bodies. It was just some big explosion, and this big complicated machine that no one can fix, no one can create, disappeared. You see? Right now, your blood is pumping and moving through your body. So many things are going on. Who is concentrating on that happening? You know, you have to sit there and, okay, pump the blood, breathe, blink my eyes, grow my hair. Who's doing that? How is it happening? Inconceivable. Inconceivable is right in front of us. But they don't see it. No, it happened by accident. Even Krishna says it doesn't take religion or Vedas to understand I'm not this body. He says, what's the end of the last stanza of that Dehi Nosmayata De Kurya? Dhiras Tatra Namayuti. One who is Dhira. What does Dhira translate to? Sober. So what is the opposite of sober? You're intoxicated. For those coming from the West, we know what intoxication means, right? You drink alcohol and you think, yes, I'm handsome, I'm powerful. All the ladies want me, you see? Which is not true. But I'm intoxicated. You see? So you're not in reality. Anybody sober sees you like, go away, please. No, no, I'm wonderful. I'm full of alcohol. Similarly, we're bewildered by this material energy. If they would just stop for a minute. You think about this. You wake up in the morning, immediately the mind and everything, your senses are engaging you, aren't they? You have this to do, that to do, so many things. I have this. And I'm just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. You never stop. People don't stop to think. Why do I have to do all these things? Why is desire forced on me? You see? The new iPad has come out. I don't have enough money. Let me figure out how to get some money so I can get one. I have to get it. I have to. Don't desire it. Just stop desiring. But can they stop desiring? So then for they should realize desire is forced on me. Who is forcing this desire on me? That's the intelligent thing. That doesn't take religion or philosophy to understand that. Even this scientists, biologists, excuse me, I'm getting too excited here. They recognize the fact that the body is changing at every moment. How many people had biology? Science class, biology, right? We see that the body is just a collection of other living entities, cells that divide, change, and this is what is growth, isn't it? And you go to America, especially when you sell books and you talk to people and you say, you're not the body, and they kind of look at you a little strange. And then you say, okay, you remember having a body of a five-year-old? They go, yeah. I say, show it to me. Where is it? Like, it's here. I say, then you take biology? Yes. What does biology explain? Your cells die and change all the time to the point that within 7 years you have a whole new body. And then they kind of, some of them will get, then, oh, what, now the light comes on. Others, if they're envious, they argue. No, no, no. That's not true. But it's science. Therefore, probably this is science. It's not religion. Dehi Nosmin Yata Dehi is true for Christians, Muslims, everybody, isn't it? It's a fact. It's obvious. It doesn't take... So I'm not the body. That's the first thing. Now once I understand I'm not the body, who am I? Okay, that's another subject matter. So the first realization, Brahman realization, I am spirit. What's the next realization? There's a controller. That's obvious too. Don't we see every day the sun is rising, setting, the moon? And it's so perfect in its orbit that On Go Opening Day, they can tell you exactly what time the moon is going to rise and the sun's going to set. What should that indicate? Something running so perfectly. Somebody's controlling it. Can they get the trains to work like that? They have special college degree in managing time. Still, you can't get the bus on time, you can't get the train up, you can't get the plane on time. And it requires so much study and intelligence. Therefore, they should also conclude, somebody is controlling. Sun, moon, everything is perfectly arranged, isn't it? We breathe oxygen, we give back. You see, the carbon dioxide, the plants take that in, give us back oxygen. Such an interdependence from everything. Perfect arrangement. How can something so perfect happen by accident? Bewildering, inconceivable. But because they're envious, therefore they cannot accept personality. No, no. Nobody is greater than anybody. At minimum, they say we're all equal. That's democracy. Make everybody equal. Nobody's better, nobody's worse. You see, that's just another form of envy. If you're not envious, you can accept somebody being better than me. Right? They're better than me. Let me assist you. That's spiritual. That's the spiritual world. You see? Radharani can give the greatest pleasure to Krishna. Let me serve Radharani. I can't please Krishna like that, right? And then these gopis, they can assist Radharani better than I can. Let me serve them. You see, dasa, 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 anadasa. Because there's no envy. But when there's envy, then you have all these other problems, and you have to have so many rules, regulation, demon crazy, as Prabhupada called it. Not democracy, he called it demon crazy. You see, to try to adjust everything so it's fair. We have to be fair. As if that's going to make you happy. But you're never happy because you're always checking to make sure it's fair. No, you can't have more than me. You can't have less than me. You have to get it according to the rules. You see, sometimes the devotees, we get caught up in this, you know, thing also. You have to make it fair. You have to be. And then you lose the higher taste. You see, so. So inconceivable exists. Now when we see that it took some, this is symptoms of intelligence, right? What does that mean next, the last realization? Intelligence doesn't exist in a void. Intelligence comes from a person. So there is a supreme person, Bhagavan. Very simple. Now, who is he? What does he look like? That's another matter. Therefore, when you read Bhagavatam, if you accept these three things, now you can accept Yajnasringadev, Krishna, all these other things. Because has anyone ever seen any other scripture that describes another personality of Godhead? Something opposite of Krishna? No, no, it's not Krishna. It's actually a red person that's a blob, and he doesn't have any figure or... No. This is the only scripture that gives us such great detail, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam is so elaborate. All the scriptures are so elaborate, and they all correlate, don't they? What person can make up such a thing? Even Stephen King, who's famous for writing these giant novels, he couldn't do such a thing, could he? And writing in such poetic sounding language. It must be true. On that alone. So our problem is we won't accept our position. That we're very small. That we're an illusion. It's stated that the demigods, they're also conscious. It says human beings are conscious. But their consciousness is much greater where they realize Vishnu is God. They know that. But they're also bewildered by material desires. Humans, our bewilderment is such, we don't think there's any God. And then you go lower in the mode of ignorance, like the ants. They don't even know there's human beings, isn't it? You ever look on the sidewalk and you see the ants walking? So I know sometimes, I use this example a lot, I used to think, why don't they just walk on the grass? Don't they see their people on the sidewalk? You're going to get stepped on. Can you explain it to them? You know, there's human beings that they can crush you by the thousands by walking. and they don't even know it? Please go on the grass. What they speak of, there's a mayor, there's president of the United States, there's demigods. You can't explain any of that to them. And because we can't explain it to them, does it mean we don't exist? Because they can't conceive of it? No. So inconceivable exists. And that just shows how small we are. If we give up envy, then we can actually accept that, and then you can marvel in it. See, when you hear in the Sringadeva's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, oh, my Lord is so wonderful. You see, my Lord is so wonderful. As we know, that pastime of the Brahmin and the cobbler. Most people heard that pastime when Narada Muni is going to the spiritual world. And in the end of that pastime, the Brahmin, very learned, very expert, and he's bewildered by, well, Narayan is threading a camel through the eye of a needle. Oh, come on. Come on, how can Narayan not thread a camel through the eye of a needle? You didn't see Vishnu. But the little cobbler, oh, my Lord is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. And Narada Muni is a little shocked. You actually believe that? Yes. Why not? I'm sitting under this banyan tree. And where did this banyan tree come from? A little small seed like this. So if my Lord can do that, definitely he can put a camel through the eye of a needle. You see, it takes love. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilo Chalena. This is how you can see everything properly. It depends on our love for Krishna. And if it's the opposite, love for myself, which is envy, lust, anger, and greed, then you're bewildered. You see, no, there's no God. No, everything happened by accident. As a matter of fact, if they really believe that argument, this is my counter-argument to them. Now everyone is concerned about what? Global warming, and the environment is going to change in such a way all the human beings are going to disappear, right? Well, according to your philosophy, they won't disappear. We'll just change. Didn't life migrate from water to land? That's a huge change in environment, isn't it? How did it do it? So we'll just change to whatever it is, existing gas. No worry. Just let it evolve. Don't be bewildered and think life is going to end. It didn't end before. If they really believed in an evolutionary theory, then there's peace of mind, total peace of mind. Everything will just change like it should, by accident. Or as Srila Prabhupada used to say, he says, if by accident so many wonderful things can happen, then why do we need scientists? Let everything happen by accident. See, let the iPad be invented by accident. Don't do anything. So, anyway, I'm going to stop here. And if anyone has any other questions or comments at this time, this was kind of a last minute class, so I didn't get to prepare very nice. This is the best I could do. Anyone? Yes, from. Which verse again?
Servants of gopis.
Yeah.
I tend to disbelieve that because there are servants, I guess, who are directly serving Krishna. They could be even from a grass, made of grass.
Yes. No, the devotee, we have a swarup. Each one of us has a very unique, for lack of a better word, thing that we do that gives pleasure to Krishna. Each one of us, in our own small way. So a devotee simply wants Krishna to be happy, isn't it? That's the main premise amongst all the different devotees, whether the relationship is neutral, servant, or whatever. That's the main premise. And because they're not envious, they can accept any service. Therefore, devotees can become grass. You need grass, don't you? How are you? If the four of us want to enjoy and you go to the desert, is that fun? There's nothing there but heat. No, you want, like you see here in Mayapur, nice trees, grass, isn't it? Now you, such a nice day, sun shining, birds, you see? Now, would you become a bird so that I can be happy? No. You see, we're not that surrendered. I don't want to be a bird, I want to be a gopi. That's more fun. You see? I don't want to be a bird. But for Radha and Krishna to enjoy, what's required? Grass, trees, birds. So the devotees voluntarily, I'll be the bird so that I can sing at the right moment for Radha and Krishna. I'll be the grass. So that when the devotees and Krishna look out and such a beautiful scene, park grass. You see? I don't have to be next to Krishna. The devotees pray like that. Let them just simply walk on my, let me be a blade of grass and collect their dust. Because they give Krishna so much pleasure. I'll just collect the dust. You see? And be the grass so they can enjoy. So we have a long ways to go in terms of really loving Krishna. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't even want to be Brahma if there's no service. I will accept even a worm and stool if that's service to you. You see? Who wants to be worm and stool? You need worms and stool. You have to break the stool down. Right? You don't want stool all over Mayapur. So who's willing to do that service? No hands. See? Gopi, everybody. We still got a little bit of, you know, enjoying spirit in us in the wrong way. But as our hearts soften, you'll feel that mood come like that. You see? You become humble. Humble meaning, what can I do to please Krishna? And then Krishna gives you that inspiration. Well, why don't you become grass? Okay, I'll become grass. And as Janani Vas mentioned once in a class, I remember 2-3 years ago, he's talking about this point of wanting to be a gopi. He says, actually, there's advantages in all the rasas. When Radha and Krishna come together, all those other rasas have to go away, like the coward boys, Mother Yashoda, because it disturbs that conjugal affair, isn't it? So who gets to see all that conjugal affair? Who? The trees, the birds, the grass. See, there's some advantage. It would be nice to see all those things firsthand, not to have to hear about it. But you can see it and go, this is what I saw Radha and Krishna doing today. I got to see that. You see? All right, you know, Mother Yashoda doesn't know what they're doing. She has no clue. She thinks her son is a nice boy. She doesn't know he has a girlfriend. It's a secret. All right? But the grass, the trees, and the birds, they know. So there's advantages in all these rasas. All right? So our first relationship now is, let us try to understand and enjoy devotional service. That much we can understand, right? If we don't have devotional service, what do we have? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Right? Who wants that? Nobody wants it. Okay, so let me enjoy devotional service and get in that mood. Later on, the love will manifest where it becomes spontaneous. And then all these rules and regulations kind of interfere with it. That's Krishna Lila. He'll make you break all the rules and regulations, isn't it? Like with the gopis. He didn't have to play the flute in the middle of the night. He could have played it in the daytime so they could go hide. But he picked the time when they had to, the husband's right next to them, what are they going to do? They have to break the rules. All right? So anyway, anything else? Any other comments? All glory, Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Hari Hari Bol.